Cycling is a great way to exercise and enjoy the fresh outdoors. It's also environmentally friendly. Unfortunately, biking accidents happen, and they usually involve head injuries. That's why it's so important to wear your helmet. According to experts, the right biking helmet can reduce the risk of serious brain injury by 88%. Some Christians ride through life and straight into spiritual battles without wearing the helmet of salvation, which is part of the armor of God. Remember this, your mind is more vulnerable than you think. A disciplined mind can reduce the risk of spiritual injury. So put away your stinking thinking and wear the mind of Christ, the helmet of salvation. I'm Ron Jones. Something good starts right now.
The Battlefield of the Mind on today's Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones. My name is Brian, and thanks for making us part of your day. Well, Satan knows that God has given all his children the gift of a sound mind, but that doesn't stop him from attacking it. Today, Ron introduces us to a critical piece of battle gear, one designed to protect our minds from the onslaught of enemy attacks. Stop by somethinggoodradio.org to listen to the broadcast on demand. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Subscribe to the program at Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. From his teaching series, Armored, Dressed for Victory in Spiritual Warfare, here's Ron and today's Something Good Radio message, Putting on the Helmet of Salvation.
Well, most sports that I know of today or sporting activities that you can participate in, whether you're a professional athlete or just a kind of a weekend athlete, require a helmet. And the most obvious one is football. I played a little football in high school, and I learned early on how important the helmet is. The last thing you want to do is to head out onto the field without your helmet. But even then, football is a contact sport. And I remember a couple of times getting my bell rung so well that I couldn't call the play in the huddle, and my teammates called a timeout, and I kind of went, bleep, 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 you know, and I got a concussion. There's a lot of concussion discussion today in football, and rightly so. I know what some of you are thinking. Jones, now I know it explains everything about you, and it really does. But having said that, it is a very serious thing. Concussions, and the NFL all the way down to the Pee Wee Leagues are being very careful about all that. But other activities require a helmet too. Riding a motorcycle or a bicycle. I have two feelings when I pass somebody on the road who's on that beautiful Harley Davidson. One is jealousy. I'd love to just ride into the wind on a Harley. The other is, if they're not wearing a helmet, what are you thinking about, you know? And I know some states have helmet laws and others don't, but, you know, that's an important piece of equipment if you're riding a motorcycle, even riding a bike, right? Well, in the Christian life and in spiritual warfare, which we've been talking about the last several days and weeks, something called the helmet of salvation is equally important to the believer in Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul brings this to our attention in his letter to the Ephesians when he writes this, put on the whole armor of God, the whole armor, right? Don't forget a single piece of it. Every piece of the armor is vitally important as you step into spiritual battle. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And then in verse 17, he says, and take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. Now, the Bible mentions the helmet of salvation in two other places besides Ephesians chapter 6. Once in the Old Testament in relation to God himself, and a second time in one of Paul's letters to the Thessalonians. Let's start in Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 17. It says of God, he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing and wrapped himself in zeal as a cloak. And then this whole armor of God thing must have been on Paul's mind as he writes several of his New Testament letters, because again in his letter to 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5 and verse 8, he says, "But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation." So once again, Paul is using a physical object to illustrate a spiritual reality. The helmet of salvation is meant to protect our minds. Now, the picture that Paul has in his mind is not of a football player or somebody riding a motorcycle or a bicycle. He has in mind, of course, an ancient Roman soldier who, when he went into battle, you know, girded up his loins with the belt and had a metal breastplate and had his shield with him, but he also had a helmet, a metal or iron helmet that he wore, because it's important to protect your head. you get hit in the head in battle, and that's the quickest way to take somebody out, right? And so this is the picture that Paul has in mind, but he's taking that physical reality of this ancient Roman soldier, and he's applying it to the spiritual reality that we all face in, well, as he said, the heavenly realms, that invisible war that is happening in the heavenly realms. The helmet of salvation is meant to protect our minds. I'm reminded of what the United Negro College Fund has said for years: the mind is a terrible thing to waste. And it is. It's a very true statement. But it's also a dangerous thing to leave your mind exposed to the devil's attacks and to his tactics and to the devil's thinking. The devil attacks our mind because he knows the truth of Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 5, which says, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." So if he can take captive your thoughts, starting with the first thoughts of your day, if he can take those captive, well, he can begin to shape even your destiny. Zig Ziglar was a motivational speaker, and he was famous for telling us to get a regular checkup from the neck up and get rid of all that stinking thinking. You know, that's good advice for us from a motivational speaker. But he understood something that I think even the Bible would affirm, and that is, when we sow a thought, we reap an action. When we sow an action, we reap a habit. When we sow a habit, we reap a character. And when we sow a character, we reap a destiny. And so the devil wants to take captive every thought we have, not to the obedience of Christ, but to the obedience of himself. Because he knows if he can get those thoughts, if he can get us thinking a certain way, then he might even, you know, impact and affect the very destiny of our lives. So consider today's message about the helmet of salvation, a spiritual checkup from the neck up, all right? We're going to get rid of some stinking thinking and make sure that we're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Because the Bible has a lot to say about the mind. For example, Jesus said the first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul. Say it with me. And with all of your mind. Yeah, with your mind. Some people call themselves Christians and then pride themselves on their ignorance. However, as Christians, we must know what we believe and why we believe it. A mindless faith won't do it. A mindless faith leaves a person vulnerable to the devil's attacks. And a mindless faith will never be able to answer the skeptic's questions about what we believe and why we believe it. And as Christians, we cannot afford to be intellectually lazy about our faith. Having said that, Christianity is much more than an intellectual pursuit. It's much more than that, but it's not any less than that. And so God expects us to use the minds that he's given us, and we have to protect it. We have to protect the mind. That's part of what it means to take up or to put on the helmet of salvation, to protect our minds against the mental assaults of the devil and his tactics against us. Now, any old helmet won't do. Suppose a football player comes to the stadium and he has a cycling helmet, not a football helmet. I mean, he'd be ill-prepared to go into the game with a cycling helmet. Likewise, the Apostle Paul calls this the helmet of salvation. Any old helmet won't do. He says, put on and take up the helmet of salvation, because the devil will play mind games, friends, with our understanding of one of the basic truths of Scripture as it relates to salvation. That's kind of a churchy term, isn't it? And the idea of, you know, have you been saved? Do you have salvation? It may sound churchy, and it may sound a little bit of out of step with our modern, you know, hipster culture and all that, but it's good biblical theology. What does salvation refer to? Salvation refers to the activity of God in rescuing us and saving us from at least three things: the penalty of sin, the power of sin over us, and one day from the very presence of sin as he takes us home to a place called heaven. So salvation is very, very important. It is fundamental and basic to our understanding of the work of God in our lives. The devil, though, wants to play mind games with us as it relates to our understanding of salvation. And I want to talk about some of those mind games to bring an awareness to us of the mind games that he uses. And in the process, get rid of some of this stinking thinking. All right? A little checkup from the neck up as it relates to matters of salvation.
Still ahead, the second half of today's message with Dr. Ron Jones, lead pastor at Atlantic Shores Baptist Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Listen to Ron's messages on demand at somethinggoodradio.org. That's somethinggoodradio.org. When you stop by, be sure to check out Starting Point, a Disciple's First Steps, a free online discipleship coaching experience created by Dr. Ron Jones. Use the Courses tab at the top of the homepage at somethinggoodradio.org. That's Starting Point, a Disciple's First Steps. Well, the mainstream media did not create fake news. That dishonor belongs to Satan, the father of falsehood, the lord of lies. Here's Ron with the rest of today's message, putting on the helmet of salvation.
Here's one of the mind games the devil plays with us. Are you ready for this? He'll tell you, you don't need salvation. You don't need to be saved and rescued, because the devil wants us to believe we are basically good people who occasionally do bad things. And who would need to be saved or rescued by Jesus? You're a good person. You might do some bad things once in a while. He also wants us to believe we are not ultimately accountable to a holy God. The devil would like to play that mind game with us. We can live any way we please without consequences, but those are both false assumptions upon which to build our lives. It's the devil's fake news, all right? And it's the mind game that he plays with us. The Bible offers a much different diagnosis of our human nature and our human condition, starting with the idea that we are corrupt to the core. We're not good people who happen to do some bad things. No, the Bible says this in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8, that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If the devil gets us to believe we're just good people who happen to do some bad things, we're living a deceived life. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. A little bit earlier in that same chapter, the Bible says this: none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks after God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Because from God's perspective, from his holy, purely righteous perspective, even our best intentions and our good days when we're trying to do good things, it's tainted somehow, corrupted just somehow by our sin nature. It's like ordering a computer, a brand new computer, and it arrives on your front doorstep, but the operating system is corrupted just that much, and it affects everything in the operating system. That's what sin has done to the human nature. We were born into sin. And all of that adds up to a hard diagnosis for some people to accept. It's like hearing the word cancer from the doctor. Nobody wants to hear that. You want to hear, no, you're just fine. You know, well, all you need is a little bit of therapy and you'll be just fine. What a lie. What a mind game the doctor might play with us. It actually gets worse in the Bible. The Bible says we are dead in our trespasses and sins, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. Apart from Jesus Christ, the diagnosis is not that we're a little sick and in need of some therapy or some self-help medication. You know, we're good people, do some bad things once in a while. No, apart from Christ, we're dead. There's no life in us. That part of us that was created to have a relationship with God is dead. And we don't like to talk about death. But it's possible, the devil will never tell you this, but it's possible to be physically alive and spiritually dead at the same time. That's how we're born into this world. That's why Jesus said, you must be born again. The devil will never tell you that. He'll play mind games with you. And say, you don't need salvation. You don't need to be saved and rescued. No, the Bible says you're dead. And somebody must bring you to life, spiritual life. And that somebody is Jesus Christ. That's just one mind game. Here's a second one. You can save yourself. If the devil can't convince you you don't need salvation, he'll try to convince you you can do it all on your own. This mind game appeals to the person with a strong, independent spirit who says, you know, I can pull myself up by my own bootstraps. I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. Kind of reminds me of a famous poem or treatise written by William Ernest Henley titled Invictus. And the last stanza in that poem says, it matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. Henley thought that was the case. And maybe the devil had convinced him and he convinced you, playing a little mind game, that you are the captain of your own soul. You can save yourself. But here's what Jesus said to a rich fool, he called him, in Luke chapter 12. He says, this night your soul is required of you. In other words, you're going to die and you're going to stand before a holy God. You're not the captain of your soul. And the things that you have prepared, whose will they be? The man Jesus called a fool was a powerful man of industry. Everybody would have looked at him and said, oh, you know, he's a self-made man, the captain of his own soul. He died that night and had a rude awakening because he had bought into the lies and the mind games of the devil. Jesus also warned, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And so here's how the helmet of salvation helps us out. When we put on the helmet of salvation, it says this in Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. Some great words about salvation. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The devil plays mind games with us, and he wants us to believe you can save yourself. Thirdly, another mind game that he plays, he'll tell us, you're not worthy of saving. You're not worthy of saving. You're no good as a person. Maybe you've got this recording going around in your mind that leads you to a very poor sense of your self-worth. Maybe you need to sing the old children's song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Profound words, aren't they? Do you know how much God loves you? There's value and esteem aimed toward us from the love of God. Most of us have a very small understanding, maybe even a childlike understanding of the love of God. But if you're going to put on your helmet of salvation and expose the fake news of the devil who says you're not worthy of saving, I think the Apostle Paul's prayer to the Ephesians, we're in Ephesians 6, go a little bit earlier into Ephesians chapter 3, he prays these words, that you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. The devil doesn't want you to know that. He'll play mind games with you. He'll tell you you're worthless. You're not all that. He doesn't want you to experience the love of God in a little bit, you know, an inch deep, let alone at the depth and the length and the height and the breadth that the Apostle Paul talks about here. He wants you to think you're pond scum. He wants you to think that you're certainly not worth Jesus spilling his blood for you. Now, I actually think that Darwinian evolution is one of the ways the devil devalues our human dignity, and he does this through a false theory of our origins. He plays mind games with us here. He tells us you're nothing but pond scum. You're nothing but an accident of the cosmos. And he has taken captive the thoughts of millions of people who have bought into this false theory of our origins. And what it produces in us is a self-understanding and self-esteem, self-worth, whatever you want to call it, that says, you know, if all I am is pond scum, if all I am is an accident of the cosmos, what value is my life anyway?
Satan will use lies to attack your mind. He'll tell you that you don't need salvation. If you get by that one, he'll tell you that you can save yourself. And if you can get by that one, he'll tell you that you're not worthy of salvation. Don't buy the lie. As Jesus said in Luke 12:32, God has chosen gladly to give you his kingdom. Dr. Ron Jones joins me now to talk about his new book, The Jesus Way to Pray. Ron, so excited about the release of your new book, The Jesus Way to Pray, an intimate journey through the Lord's Prayer. What inspired you to write this book?
Thanks for the question, Brian. You know, I think all of us, no matter how long we've been following Jesus, can use some help with our prayer life. I know I can, and I'm supposed to be a professional at this, right? I can totally understand why the disciples approached Jesus and asked him to teach them how to pray. Fortunately, the model prayer Jesus gave his disciples is recorded for us in the pages of Scripture and preserved for nearly 2,000 years. It's known worldwide as the Lord's Prayer. I call it the Jesus Way to Pray.
Ron, you say in the introduction to the book, nobody is in a better position to teach us how to pray than Jesus. What do you mean by that?
Well, Brian, to say, Lord, teach us to pray, as Jesus' disciples did, is kind of like asking Michael Jordan or LeBron James to teach us how to play the game of basketball, or Leonardo da Vinci to teach us how to paint a masterpiece like The Last Supper or the Mona Lisa, or Michelangelo to teach us how to sculpt a marble stone into David or the Pietà. Truly, nobody is in a better position to teach us how to pray than Jesus.
Thanks so much for sharing this important resource with us, Pastor. Again, that book is called The Jesus Way to Pray, an intimate journey through the Lord's Prayer. Order your copy for a donation of $25 or more. Share it with a friend by requesting a 2-pack for $50, a 4-pack for $75, or an 8-pack for $150 or more. Give online at somethinggoodradio.org or by phone by calling our offices at 757-276-1099. Or you can mail your gift to P.O. Box 6245, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23456.
What I'm trying to say to you is you don't need to get insecure or be destabilized in your relationship with the Lord. He's got you. He's got you in the grip of his grace. He's got you in the palm of your hand. The devil wants to play mind games with you and say, oh, no. You lost your salvation today. If you didn't do anything to perform in a way to get it, you can't misperform or perform poorly or whatever, the grammar is there to lose it.
That's tomorrow in part two of Dr. Ron Jones' message, Putting on the Helmet of Salvation. Join us then for Something Good. For Ron and the entire team here at Something Good Radio, I'm Brian Davis saying so long and thanks for listening.